You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Corey, aka Bayou Benders, alongside Mason Dixon, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. Folks, to another episode of Habs Nightly. Mason is studying for his midterm, so you know what that means. We brought a special guest on today's episode. We're joined with Brandon Stanley. He's the co-host of Tracking the Storm podcast. It's a Carolina Hurricanes-based podcast, which I'm sure you kind of understood. They have a really good name for their podcast. It works. And he's also a writer for the Hockey Writers, which is, if you care about reading at all, that's one of the best places to read anything about hockey material. But Brandon, what's going on, bud?
Oh, not much, man. Just another lovely night down here in Raleigh. But I appreciate you bringing me on, man. Excited get in some of this stuff.
Dude, I was actually so excited. I was like, who the fuck can I grab this week? And I saw we were playing Carolina. I was like, what a perfect story. You know, there's just so much going on between us. People are trying to blame it, saying that we're like the new back and forth picking on each other team. But you mentioned you're in Raleigh. That's something I really love. I really love having Southern born and raised people on my podcast when it's just my days, when it's just like, I guess Wednesdays are Southern night now. But so you're from Raleigh. And I guess just from, you know, someone like me in Louisiana, I never really got to see and grow up with a team. What was it like, you know, growing up and having an amazing NHL franchise, right in your hometown?
Yeah, man, it was awesome. And so I was a big sports guy my entire life, you know, my entire childhood, my entire family was just big sports family. And I remember my dad took me to a playoff game against the Detroit Red Wings in the Cup Finals back in 2001. And I was just absolutely hooked. I was about 6-7 years old at the time. And you couldn't, you know, get a hockey stick out of my hands from pretty much that point forward. And it really grew in the area, you know, especially in 01 and 06, obviously, when we won the cup, like it just exploded. And, you know, the Carolina Junior Hurricanes program that I like played for growing up, like that just grew so much in those years. And, you know, it turned into a hockey city, you know, it really wasn't before that. And, you know, the Hurricanes being good just really, you know, turned a lot of attention to it and just grew youth hockey in the area so much. And nowadays, like, there we're spitting out kids like to the NHL and to like big time juniors, BCHL, QMJHL, all over the place. So it's been really cool to see that, you know, progression. You know, it was a little bit after my time where we really started to get that good. But actually, I do have a story too. One year when we went to nationals, they actually changed the format of nationals. So okay. Every single team or every single state got a team. And they, depending on like how many youth hockey applications or like players they had, they kind of bracketed the different states. So one year we played the Louisiana Ice Gators at nationals.
Oh, sick.
We were a little bit ahead of them as a program at that point. We'll put it that way. But I thought it was kind of funny. Yeah.
No, I can't imagine Louisiana's youth being that great at that time, if I'm being truly honest with you.
We won pretty handily.
Yeah, but, I'm sure it was a skull dragging.
Just a little bit.
Oh, man, that's great. Yeah, for me, I love that, though, you know, that, you know, like you said, though, it was a little bit after your time when it really started, you know, you're seeing, like, these young kids come up and be, you know, have true potential to be something. I wish I could say a lot more of that for Louisiana, but, you know, from being from the South, you know, not having a team, it's made me really cherish, how much of the South is in the league. I don't fuck with Tampa Bay, and this is beyond just our finals exit after, 5 grueling games, but, just in all, Carolina's been like a franchise that I've really liked a lot, especially because it got a lot of negative feedback. And, you know, truly after what the 06 win, there was a bit of a fall off, but I liked it because I like the underdog teams. And then I'm just going to stick with the South. You know, that's just kind of where I'm at. You know, I'll love any team from down here, except I actually root for Florida because I'm obviously because I can't stand Tampa, but, yeah. But no, I love that. I tried to do the hockey thing as a kid. The Mighty Ducks was about the most we had other than the New Orleans Brass, which kind of folded after Hurricane Katrina. But sadly for us, we didn't really have like a youth movement. We had hockey and New Orleans loved it down here, but you didn't see any anything to try to bring like it as a youth sport, you know, to try to bring a generations up, as you could say. And I think we really kind of lost a great opportunity in that because all I wanted to do was play. And then all my friends, because we were, you know, born in the 90s, it was so prevalent back then that we just wanted to do that. And the best they can offer us was like, you know, like gym hockey, you know, on the basketball floor during like rainy days, you know. So yeah. We didn't really get as much of it as we liked, but it's really awesome to hear about like a Southern kid born and raised really get a chance to do that. But I want to move on a little bit to this article you wrote, man. And if anybody, well, obviously everyone who listens to this podcast is a Habs fan. And, you know, we went through a bit of turmoil with the KK, with losing KK. And it's a bit of poetic justice. You know, people like you, even you said in yours that it wasn't based on because we went after Aho, but at the same time, I love that it's, you know, these two teams going back and forth. I think Carolina finally, you know, I think got the, you know, the one up, just like you said in your article. It's just they found the guy they really wanted. And I feel at the time, Mark Bergevin's the type of guy that is just looking for future, you know, acquisitions. So I think, yeah, it would have been amazing to have Sebastian Aho. I was lit as fuck for an entire week, like dreaming about having him on his team. But, you know, I think it was just, we sent out a bunch of feelers, whereas Carolina has been really trying to obtain KK for a while. And, you know, I think that you really put it well in your article. And I just wanted to know, I guess, you know, what made you write the article? Obviously, you know, this is your job, but, you know, what led you to write such an amazing article on this?
Yeah, well, you know, the discourse surrounding it was just very tiresome to me. Like, I mean, as smartly as the Hurricanes have operated under John Waddell and Eric Tulsky, who's one of the smartest hockey minds out there, they're just not going to make a play solely because Dundon's pissed off about the Aho offer sheet and go after a guy that they don't want. And there was, they had tried to trade for him. Like, that's a fact. And I can't disclose too much here because I don't think I'm even supposed to know, but I do know what the trade
proposal. Let's not fuck ourselves, Brandon. I don't want you to lose any type of credibility.
No, it's cool. But let's just say the trade, what Bergevin wanted for Kotkaniemi, was absolutely absurd. Mm-hmm. We can leave it at that. Well, I just wanted to break it down from the Hurricanes' perspective. Like, this is a 20-year-old kid, 21-year-old kid, whatever he is.
Yeah.
Third overall pick for a reason. He had a good rookie year and his development got off track. So the Hurricanes saw an opportunity with what the Montreal cap situation was and knew if they match this offer, they are going to really screw themselves up next summer when Nick Suzuki and Alexander Romanov are up for restricted free agency. And that's just going to give the Hurricanes a chance to come back and do it again. Or any other team, you know, not just the Hurricanes. But
yeah, I love the way you put that, though, because it was like if we successfully signed KK to a deal that we really couldn't afford, then there was a hot chance you guys would have came after, you know.
Yeah.
I would truthfully say the better offensive version of, you know, the two rookies we have.
Right.
Well, and two youngsters.
And that's the point I make in my article, though, is like, the point of an offer sheet is to put the team that has to make that decision in a difficult spot, right?
Which you guys pressed hard. And I was like, oh.
The Hurricanes did. Montreal was really in it. They didn't. Nobody knew what they were going to ask. And again, what they were going to do. And again, that's the point of the offer sheet, right? You have to really put the pressure on them and make them think about it if you actually want the player. And that's where I think Bergevin fell short in the Aho offer sheet. Because it's like, yeah, you want to front load it and give it all these signing bonuses in the first year. All right, let's be real here. Tom Dundon is a billionaire. Like, he's not going to shy away from signing his best player because of
a
big signing deal, yes. But he was always going to pay that. Like, it was always obvious that the Hurricanes were going to match that. And that's what I didn't really understand from the Montreal point of view. And that's why I think the Hurricanes just kind of, in that way, outclass them from an offer sheet perspective.
No, absolutely. And I like that you, in your writing, you also said that they're going to take the Aho approach into his training, you know, pushing him on a wing position right now, give him a chance to really get the development he didn't get a chance to do here. And I'll go into that in a second, but, you know, it gives him a chance to learn how Carolina plays. And then, If he plays successfully, there's always a chance to slot him back in a center position, which is obviously he'll be a little bit better at because it's his dominant, you know, position.
Right. And Aho and Martin Natchez actually as well, both started out on the wing. Natchez might not even move back to center at this point because he's been great on the wing, but they're going to be on that same plan. And even Svechnikov, although he didn't make the switch from center to wing.
Right.
When he broke into the league, he was playing on the fourth line with Jordan Martinook and somebody who I can't even remember at this point, but he was playing like 11 minutes a night. And I had somebody point out to me somebody pointed out on Twitter, you know, Kotkaniemi's not even playing in the first two games, what he played in Montreal. And I'm like, they're completely resetting his development. Mm-hmm. And first of all, two games,
but
two games is too small of a sample size to take away anything anyway.
Absolutely.
You know, they're going to ease him in. He's going to play on the wing. He's going to get kind of sheltered minutes. And, you know, maybe things change about midway through the season. Maybe they don't change till next year. Although I do think it's interesting that ahead of tomorrow night's game, he was practicing with Sebastian Aho and Teuvo Teravainen today. He's played with Aho the first two games anyway on the first line. But now they're moving Teravainen up there too to like recreate our awesome first line of the old years. Except instead of Svechnikov up there, it's going to be Kotkaniemi, which I'm very interested to see how that plays out in Montreal.
I actually, if he gets a chance to play at that, I love that because it's a bit of a face rub, you know, like a face wash to Montreal because this guy, you know, we really screwed KK's development over so bad. You know, was he ready for the NHL right away? I think he could have really gained a lot more if he would have went to Laval or what have you. But, you know, starting at 18 and being pushed into a situation where the team is just, we were dog shit. I have no problem saying it, you know, until the bubble started during COVID and last year when it felt like we had the pieces right, you know, KK's development was, yeah, he got a lot of chances, but his leash was so short on him that they didn't know what they wanted to do. You see a lot, there was a lot of movement within the team. He never really had true lines to work with. He never gained much chemistry. And, developing a kid through the tough years is always going to be a little bit harder because he doesn't really have someone to lean on, especially with like a great offensive talent to really boost it. There was no way they were going to put him with like a Brendan Gallagher or a Thomas Tatar or Jonathan Drouin, more like enough for him to really succeed. And I think with Carolina, I mean, you guys have a very stacked team. And I think that a chance to reset, just like you said in your article, you know, guys that get their second chance, that's when they, you know, they have a really true time to shine, because sometimes it just doesn't pan out with your first team. It's the NHL. It's, I mean, athletes in general, sometimes it just doesn't happen. But I think KK is a solid player. He never really got a chance to show his offensive potential except for that first year. But I think he's a phenomenal two-way forward. He's not the fastest, but his mind is really what it's about. And what I'm noticing on our team in these dreadful couple games I've had to watch is that we're really missing a guy who can win, you know, board battles and isn't afraid to get crushed up over there. I miss KK because when he came back after, I think it was his spleen, he came back with such tenacity in the bubble system that I was like, wow, if this is what we get to see, I don't want to hear anybody say anything negative. Not only is he's being an offensive, you know, mastermind right now, but he has no problem playing the body, and his just defensive mind is really clicking right now. And I just think that it's really going to soar with Carolina.
Yeah, I think it's going to fit really well in the system. And just that's really the thing that stood out to me most in the first two games was just how willing he was to initiate contact and go work along the boards. And in the Hurricane system under Rod Brendamore, like, they're going to love that. It's just going to fit so well into the aggressive forechecking style that I see exactly what they had in mind with him, you know?
Yeah. And last year he fit well, but it seemed that, you know, he didn't get enough chances that he truly deserved. Me and Mason went back and forth. Mason said, who would I rather want as my first center on this team in the future, you know, between Suzuki and Kotkaniemi. And I said I wanted Kotkaniemi. And yeah, it might not have been from like an analytical mind, but I was looking at it as, look, we have someone like Philip Deneau as our number one. And I don't think KK's gonna, you know, be more defensively than he is offensively. But I felt like he had the potential to be that true bruiser that was strong enough offensively to have a top pairing, you know, potential in him. But we just never really utilized him well. And then this season, it seems like we're trying to get back to like the Flying Frenchman era. We're not really attacking hard on people. We're not making it hard. Like, I feel like I'm watching the most predictable game of hockey every night. And it's miserable. And it makes me, you know, just miss all of the key members we lost. But KK was like the future. I still felt he had such an integral role into this, especially with the likes of Cole Caulfield coming in and Nick Suzuki's like rise, you know. And I mean, I'm fucking rambling, but Nick Suzuki really made sense in it, because if you look at how he came into his development, we had a team that was kind of built. Whereas when KK came in, this team was like for sale. We were just moving pieces around it, and Suzuki didn't have that much problem. We had a well team built around him, and his first true season with us, he got paired with Toffoli and then the likes of like a Josh Anderson, you know, swapping back and forth. KK never really got that. And I don't think that's fair to his development, considering you brought him in at 18 and forced him through the dog years to get here. I think with Carolina, though, there's just so much talent on every line. I wouldn't be surprised if he could find success at any level.
Yeah, and yeah, for sure. In the top nine, especially, like, we really went back and forth when we were trying to figure out, you know, where is he going to play? And really, we expected it to start with Jordan Staal. Because, like, mm-hmm. I mean, how many guys in the league could be a better kind of mentor, especially
exactly.
as a style and as a center, than Jordan Staal? And it's a third line role. Like, they'll create offense still. It, you know, it's not going to be an Aho Teravainen pairing level of offense, but he's going to get to show his two-way game and learn from, you know, Rod Brind'Amour, who is one of the most well-respected centers of our generation, two-way mm-hmm. forwards. And then Jordan Staal, who is almost like a reincarnation of his, you know, head coach. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, they're just trying to hit the ground running with him and sticking him on the first line and trying to see what he can do in that first year, see if he can get off to a bang of a start.
Yeah, I really love it because, you know, just because he's gone, he'll be probably like my second Carolina jersey I own, especially if I – you know, like you said, if there's a possibility of them signing something around like a $4 million deal, whatever term it'll be, I'd love to own a jersey of his. I've been wanting another Carolina one. I haven't had one since the storm. So it's time for me to just kind of whittle down my, you know, fantasy numbers of how many jerseys I want and get something one that I really wanted from the Canadians. Just happens to be in a southern market now, which I'm super excited about. But let me get your predictions on what you think KK is capable of with your team now, because I think that we expected more from KK here, but it wasn't fair because he never got a true chance to do it.
Yeah, I actually put out a bold predictions piece right before the season started. I guess
last love it.
And I said KK is going to score 60 points. And
let's go.
The bold prediction. And the idea of an article like that is to kind of have fun with it. And mm-hmm. yeah, maybe you don't actually expect something like that to happen, but it just gives you an opportunity to talk about the guy, right? But really, when I was doing this piece, I was just really thinking, like, I should really be saying this for next year. But, I mean, that's boring. Bold predictions for this year and then say next year he's going to – you can't do that. But next year, I think, is the year that we're really going to see Kotkaniemi shine. He's going to have a full year in this system. And I expect him to be a 50-point guy, if not a little bit more than that. Mm-hmm. The Hurricanes center depth is the real question I have with him, because even coming up through the system, they have Jack Drury, who's already, you know – throughout preseason, he was kind of pushing, knocking on the door and really pushing for a role. And he's a pure center, like very, very good two-way forward, elite in the face-off dot. Like, that's not the kind of guy you move to wing.
Right.
And they also have some guys like Jameson Reese. Even Seth Jarvis has played at center, but he's probably going to break in on the wing. They have a ton of centers is what I'm getting at. So I'm actually wondering if he's going to end up like Natchez and stay on the wing here. But he, you know, kind of what you've been talking about before, like, he's another guy that's really, really good down the middle. You know, he was always brought up as a center and he played over there in Finland. And mm-hmm. it's just going to be interesting to see how that shakes out after he's had a year under, like I said, Brind'Amour and learning from guys like Jordan Staal and Sebastian Aho. But I think the sky's the limit for him here, really. He's just another, like, threat for the Hurricanes to have anywhere in the lineup to an already deep team, as we're talking about. So I think he could easily be a 50-point guy here within the next year.
Hey, look, I don't think that's wrong. You know, I think these bold predictions in the beginning, there's going to be a couple of hot takes in there, but I think this one's pretty spot on. I think this is about, you know, like a mid-rare steak, you know, it's really where you want it, you know, so I'm not shitting on that at all. I think that's that's beyond a hot take. I think that's pretty spot on. I love that you did bring up, you know, some of these Finnish players, and in your article, you also wrote that how impactful it could be for him to not only just play with a couple more Finns. Yeah. There was, they had Lekkonen and Armia on the Canadians, but playing with, you know, some of the best Finnish players in the league, of Finland right now, you know, you got Teuvo Teravainen, who was my favorite acquisition for Carolina. I thought he was amazing in Chicago. Thank God Chicago just can't run their money correctly. And, you know, Carolina got him because I was like, oh, everyone's going to overlook this kid in fantasy. And I pick him every year. And he always gets me these squeaky, you know, just gets me past what I need. But, you know, him, Aho, and then who they had as a goalie? Was it
Frederick Anderson and Antti Ranta?
Antti Ranta, yeah. So I think
that's what, you're talking about Finnish players, yeah.
Ranta. Yeah, yeah. Either or, we can get the goalies, but no, I think you guys made some excellent moves in the offseason. But as far as KK's concerned, I'm just super happy that he gets a second chance because I felt he was dealt the short stick in Montreal. You know, they say these, like, you know, the original six teams, especially Montreal, though, they hold you to such a standard, almost like, you know, Toronto does the same. And if you don't succeed, you see someone like Jonathan Drouin, he comes in, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, his mental problems came from just the team, but I can't imagine what it's like to have this much pressure on you at such a young age and, you know, the people to really just hate on you for you never really getting a true opportunity to be successful. And I think this is a team where he can be successful because it's very youth oriented. Rod Brind'Amour is like one of the best coaches out there. And I think he's like the perfect person for KK to look up to. He had an amazing career. And truthfully, you know, I would love to see him turn into a veteran like that. So if we can get anything out of him like that, I think Carolina is set, even with like the moves of like a Dougie Hamilton. I think, as you said, people, please read this article. It was so well written. It hit on so many key factors, you know, like the Elias Lindholm, you know, just not working out sometimes, and even y'all's young goalie that y'all just moved to Detroit, you know, it was, you know, the way you put it was just, it made me double think about it. And I was like, okay, this is well-written. This is a good idea. You know, you need someone that his numbers, you know, excuse me, his numbers were better. Well, you looked at his AHL numbers, and just because you guys went on a tear for his 29 games. I mean, the team itself was on fire. You know, how much can we really predict that to be his true form? You know, not just an over-exaggeration because the team's just flowing. So, right. Man, I feel so stupid because we just had terrible education down here. If I could be any type of writer, I would just wish to be able to have an article like that. But it would be fucking on scratch paper if I had to turn it in. But let me get a prediction, not of tomorrow's game. I know the fucking ending story of that. We just got washed by San Jose. I'm not interested in what tomorrow brings, but let me get your predictions on next season, because not this season, because I really think Carolina, this is a great opportunity. It's a good year for them to really continue to prove that they're going to get better and better until we finally see them in the finals again.
Yeah, man. Hey, like we were saying, though, hockey's a funny game. You never know.
Yeah, yeah. I'm feeling that way right now. I'm not going to lie.
Right. But, I mean, we had a conversation similar to this on our pod last week, just, you know, kind of trying to guess at what the Metro would look like and the league as a whole, what it would look like this year. And I honestly think the Metro is the Hurricanes is to lose. I feel like it's watered down a little bit from the Murderers Row it used to be,
right?
Like, you know, before last year, when obviously they broke up the divisions differently. Washington's always going to be a factor. The Islanders are a great, great regular season team, even though they're not that great in the playoffs. But, you know, regular season, what we're talking about. And Pittsburgh, as far as them, it always comes down to Malkin and Sidney Crosby healthy and Chris Letang, guys like that. If they are, they're going to be there. If not, depth is a big issue. So ultimately, yeah, like I said, I don't see why the Hurricanes wouldn't be a 104, 106 point team this season that, you know, wins the Metropolitan Division. And then that's when the real story is going to begin. It's like, you know, we've had 3 years now. Yeah, three. Geez, I can't even remember. Three Stanley Cup appearances now. It's like, have they, you know, learned from those experiences enough yet to overcome a team like Tampa Bay that's been there, that's, you know, knows what it takes to win the Stanley Cup? Or Boston, you know, Boston was another, they were the barometer when the Hurricanes first made the postseason. It's like, if you can beat Boston, you know, you're for real. And they got washed by Boston 2 years in a row in the postseason. So it's just time to see if the Hurricanes have come of age yet. You know, if guys like Aho and Natchez and Svechnikov are ready to step up when the lights shine brightest. Because as far as from a talent perspective and, you know, lineup configuration perspective, I think they're just about ready to win a Stanley Cup, and I think one will be coming in the very, very near future.
Hell yeah, man. And speaking of winning, let's just get this out the way. We have another excellent ad read from our sponsors, DraftKings. NFL fans, hungry for a big win this week? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. And if they do, you win $200 in free bets. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total cash prizes on their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets if they win. You win with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, and Pennsylvania only. New customers only. A minimum $5 deposit. A $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Man. I was having a problem with wager required. I always want to say rager required.
Look, man. I keep, you know, tooting my own horn when I'm with Mason because, like, if I do this, you know, we used to record it before or after, and I would just add it, you know, I would just add it in. And now I'm trying to do a live ad read, and I swear I'm getting so much better at the live one, because if I stop this recording and try to add it after, I'm doing like 7 takes.
Oh, me too.
And I can't stand it. I'm looking through the editing, and I think it's the right one. And then I add one that's just got a bunch of and pauses, and it just sounds sloppy and terrible. But, man, yeah, no. Brandon, before we get up out of here, man, I just want to thank you for coming on. And before we let any guests leave, we'd like to give them an open floor to – you know, maybe you got another article coming out. Shout out your podcast, where we can find you. We just leave the floor open for you to say whatever you want, because this is our way of thanking you for coming on.
Oh, yeah, man. No, I really appreciate it. I appreciate any chance I get to come on and talk hockey to anybody, really. So anytime, feel free to reach out. Like I said, I'm more than happy to do it. But, yeah, I mean, I put something out on the Hockey Writers pretty much every week, at least once a week. And I am working on something right now that should drop, if not tomorrow, early Friday. So definitely be on the lookout for that. And our podcast, Tracking the Storm, drops every Friday. So we'll have a fun one this week. Actually, we might drop it a little bit early before the Canadiens game tomorrow, so we can kind of preview that. So that will be out tomorrow as well. And again, thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Bayou Benders and listening to us bullshit on here for a little while. It's been fun.
Oh yeah. Brandon, where can we find y'all on Twitter?
Oh, at yeah. Sorry. I probably should plug.
You're fine. Well, I just want to plug the shit out of your stuff, bud.
Yeah. It's Tracking the Storm is at TTS_pod for Tracking the Storm. So TTS_pod. And then I'm on Twitter too at BWStanley26.
Awesome, man. It has been a pleasure. Folks, keep a lookout. Bayou Benders will be working for the Hockey Writers soon. It'll be a one paragraph essay with the most run on sentences you've ever seen in your life. Very poorly written, but there'll be a chunk in there that's meaningful. Brandon, man, it was really awesome having you on this evening, man. I really hope we could pull one out, but I think KK is going to get the just desserts tomorrow. I don't see this train derailing for the Canadians anytime soon, but major success for the Carolina Hurricanes, man, and to you guys as well. You know, you got two other co-hosts. I love that you guys are on the network. Just love talking some Southern hockey, man, but it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, and you're always welcome to come on, bud.
All right, great. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, folks, I want to thank Brandon for coming on the podcast and talking a little bit about Hurricanes hockey. I really want to get into the San Jose disaster that happened Tuesday night, but Mason was so fired up about that I think we really need to save it for Sunday. That way we get the San Jose game in there. We get the Hurricanes game in there, and let's see how KK does. You know, I know that we, you know, some of y'all hate him, some of y'all love him. I think this kid's really going to show out there and prove that he really deserved the chance. It's just something that was not going to work here with what we were building. And that's just the way it is sometimes. But folks, I think that's going to be it for today. Thank y'all so much for listening. As always, please follow us on Twitter at Habs Nightly and myself at Bayou Benders. If you have something to say to us, call in. You want to leave a comment, please check out our speakeasy where you can leave a 90-second comment and we will air it on air and we'll discuss it. We'll laugh about it. We'll do whatever, you know, whatever's on it. We'll do our best to do it. If you want to shit on me, awesome. If you want to say Mason had an amazing take the other day, perfect. But anyway, you can find that at www.speakpipe.com/HabsNightly.com. As always, folks, go Habs. We hope you have a great rest of your week. And this has been Habs Nightly. We'll talk to you later.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.